Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And good afternoon, Southern California. Welcome to Astrological Metaphysical Radio. A little bit different format today, so please pay attention. I forgot my book. I don't have my book on planetary locations, so I'm not going to be doing any forecast today. Aw. Some people are going to be upset because they want their forecasts, and I suggest you call tomorrow, Tuesday, or any day on KFOX 93.5 FM. So today's edition of the Astrology Hour is going to be called Let's Rap with Farley on Metaphysics, Karma, Astrology. Or if you had a general question about something, we're having a general question contest today, general comment contest. And when you call, if you'd like to be a participant, just make sure you give Marilyn your first and last name and your phone number. And that way, if you're a winner at the end of the show, we can call you up and let you know that you've won. Or, you know, you don't have to participate in the contest. You can just call. Maybe you have a comment on this Jimmy Swaggart thing or a comment on the Mars-Saturn-Uranus. Maybe we'll get no calls today, and I'll do a... If I run out of phone calls, I'm going to do a topic called energy exchanges. But until then, you're welcome to call if you have a question or a comment about anything. Love to have you call. And if you want to qualify for the general question contest, make sure you leave your phone number. Otherwise, you won't be able to. In the meantime, let's go to the phones and talk to Barbara. Hi, Barb.
Hi, Farley.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. Best day of my life.
I decided to take a day off from reading, so I forgot my book.
Yeah. Interesting you did that with Mercury about to be stationary direct.
Yeah, well, I just decided that there might be a show, an occasional show, where people would like to get in and talk to me about something, anything, not just their planets.
Uh-huh.
And with six lines wide open, it's easy to get in.
Right.
So why not give those people the opportunity that just want to talk to Farley, see how I'm doing or how they're doing, a chance to get in?
Yeah.
So what's going on with you? You coming to the party?
Yes, I am.
All right, that should be fun.
Yeah, and I have a general question about the moon wobble.
Oh, good. Good, okay.
Yeah, well, I think I understand the moon wobble when the sun is square the north node.
Right.
But this moon wobble seems to be with sun conjunct the north.
I think there was two plane crashes last weekend, too, weren't there? I think they were in New York or New Jersey or something like that, too.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
So you want to know what the difference is?
Yeah, I don't understand why it's a moon wobble with sun conjunct north node. I mean, a conjunction is not a negative aspect, usually, right?
Well, for some reason, whenever the sun gets into either opposition, conjunction, or square to the north node, it does seem to affect the vibratory ingredients from the moon, and it's usually just about the same. Like, it doesn't matter whether it's a square, an opposition, or a conjunction. It does create what we call this wobble, which is an emotional unrest and the disappointments and the plane crashes and such that do come in.
Uh-huh.
So we do find that moon wobble is moon wobble, no matter how you look at it. And it's not really the fact that a square or an opposition or a conjunction would be termed bad or good or for better or for worse. They're all the same. And when a moon wobble hits, it does hit for 3 weeks before the wobble and a week following the peak of the conjunction, which I believe is going to happen when the sun gets to 23 Pisces. Which will be somewhere in March, right around the 13th.
Yeah, I think that you said March 13th.
Yeah, March 13th, and then continue until we get to around March 20th, thereabouts.
Yeah.
But it peaks on the 13th.
Yeah.
So I don't consider it any different. It just, for some reason, when the sun gets in the area of space, when it's in square opposition or conjunction aspect to that north node, it creates this vibratory effect. That's a good question, Barb, so listen to the end of the show to see if you want a six-month transit.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye.
Bye-bye. And make sure that you give Mark Henry your phone number, otherwise we won't be able to give you a prize in case you are the winner. Let's put down Barbara's question on the moon wobble. Let's go to Gamblin' Robert on line number two. Yo, Bob.
Hey, Farley, how you doing?
A different...
I got in so quick, I can't believe it. I got usually have a line of questions here I want to talk about, but you only got time for a few. What I was wondering about, if you're ever going to do a show, and you probably have, you always say you have after I ask you this, about like empty houses and also the conjunctions of signs and even planetary conjunctions that are right on the cusp where you have to not only know the ruler of one house, the ruler of the other house, the ruler of the sign and the ruler of the planet, you know.
Okay.
I've got some that are like that.
Okay, see, first of all, there's no such thing as an empty house.
Right.
Because if a house is empty, then if you're smart enough to know what sign's on the cusp, and then you go to the lord of the planet, the planetary lord that rules the sign on the cusp, and see where that is, I'll give you a wild example. My fifth house is Aquarius, and I have no planets there. And the lord of Aquarius is Uranus, okay? And my Uranus is in the ninth house, and it's conjunct Venus, it's elevated, and it's sextal Saturn.
Yeah.
So as far as fifth house affects, like my creativity is philosophy and astrology, ninth house. See, because that's where it's ruled by the planet Uranus, which is astrology. I also have my most fun with my friends, which is Uranus again, when I travel, because it's ninth house. And my family, my parents and my mom and dad and my and my sister are very intelligent people, Venus conjunct Uranus, and very friendly. And when it comes to children, well, if I had any children, they would probably be females, because I have a Venus conjunct Uranus and probably extremely friendly. But I don't have any children, but if I do, because Uranus rules it, it would probably be a sudden child, like a sudden pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Which has never happened. See how that works?
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is you find the empty house, you refer to the sign on the cusp, and then the planetary lord,
yeah.
And then you cross-connect it, and you see where the lord is, and that's how you interpret it. It's a little complicated, Bob. It's very advanced.
Well, that's the thing I was wondering about my first house, because of 29 degrees Sag. Is the first house lord
Jupiter
or Saturn?
No, it's definitely Jupiter,
uh-huh.
And even though it's almost Capricorn, doesn't matter. Jupiter controls your appearance and your childhood and your personality. That's why you're such a happy, gambling guy.
Oh, yeah.
And what house is your Jupiter in, for example?
Jupiter's second house, conjunct Moon and Aquarius.
Okay, so what makes you feel good, of course, is women, because it's the Moon, mm-hmm. and money. And your mother might have had a dramatic effect on your appearance and your personality and your childhood, because Moon is the mother.
Totally by my mother.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how we do it. Now, as far as planets overlapping and being conjunct the house cusp, Bob,
yeah.
there is an 8-degree orb. So if a planet's in the last degree of one house, it also affects the next 7 degrees of the next house, too. That's also a very advanced aspect. Maybe I'll do a topic on that. Let me write that down. Topic, planets conjunct cusps.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's absolutely fine.
Okay.
One thing I could, you had a great show on Neptune, and I never really put a whole lot together on that until I finally looked at my own chart, and Neptune not only trines Uranus, it conjuncts Mars, and it sextals Venus, and I never looked at that before.
Way to go, Bob.
And I guess I did something right in one of those last lives.
Okay, thank you, Bobby.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Different kind of show today, wrapping with Farley. No forecasts and no readings, but still, we're still public supported, and I guess we're going to concentrate more Tuesday on readings. So if you need a forecast today, it's the wrong day to call. Anyway, we're going to have fun talking to everybody else, though. Let's go to Alma on line 3. Hi, Alma.
Hi, Farley.
How are you?
Oh, just fine. I was calling because I've had a question about, like, generation gap, male, female, female-male relationships. And I've heard and become a little bit more aware of how gays get to be gay.
Yeah.
But I have been wondering about, since society so accepts male-female when he's much, much older than the female, but when it's the reverse, it's not quite as accepted. I'm wondering if there's any type of planetary things, karma things, that other than just the generational problems that affect that kind of relationship.
That's a great question, Alma. Best thing I could think about as far as that goes, it is a karma. And see, many times in the past and in different cultures, it has been acceptable for much older people, like even 50, 60 years old, to marry young virgins that are 9, 10, 11 years old, believe it or not, in extremely primitive cultures. Believe it or not, sometimes what happens if a soul twin incarnates when you're 30? And by the time they're grown up, they're 18, you're 48, and you know they're your soul twin. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's like it's a situation or a circumstance that is very uncomfortable. It's hard to resist. Society frowns on it because, of course, they can call it, you know, molestation or rape or something in case you get involved with somebody too young. But a lot of times, this is the type of karma that we have to deal with. We have to deal with a sort of karma that deals with a wide generation gap that usually comes from a past life where we were younger and somebody much older appealed to us, or in the instance where a major soulmate or a soul twin would incarnate with that vast age difference. If I was you, are these people over 18?
Yes.
Okay, that helps. Okay, that's number one. But number two, I wouldn't let whatever anyone else says to you affect you. I myself, believe it or not, when I was in my 30s, I was dating someone in their late teens. Who was a very evolved person. Actually, she became an anthropologist, believe it or not.
And this was just a relationship I couldn't avoid.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, the worst thing you can do is let society's opinion affect you negatively.
Okay.
In my opinion. Thank you for that question, Alma.
All right.
And that was a question on the generation gap. Okay.
Okay.
Bye. This is great. I'm having a good time today. Let's go to Alex on line four. Hello, Alex.
Hey, Farley. How's it going?
I was going to do a topic on energy exchanges and let people fill me up with questions instead of drain me today, and we got a full board. I can't believe that. I can't even get the topic out today. I think we need a show once in a while where people can just call up and air some of these questions they've been thinking about, though, right?
Yeah, definitely. First of all, I wanted to say that I really enjoy your show a lot, and your optimism and your general good feeling that you give off when you do your show is very infectious, and I sort of get the same sensation when I listen to your show that I do when I read books that Linda Goodman has written, which is that it makes me feel very good about the world around me and about myself. And well, I have a question, but I'd just like to make a comment real fast if I could, and that is that just in case there's, like, people listening who don't know that much about astrology, one thing that, you know, because I love astrology, it just absolutely fascinates me, and one thing that that a lot of people tend to say is that they tend to associate astrology with being satanic. And, you know, I wanted to point out that astrology is much, much older than Satanism and witchcraft and all that stuff that it has traditionally been associated with.
You know,
and,
Alex, I never thought of that. I'm laughing because that's something I never even considered, but you're right.
It's much, much, much older. It's the oldest known science on Earth, you know. And to me, you know, because I'm a very, very firm believer in God, I wouldn't say I'm any kind of fanatical born-again Christian or anything like that. But, you know, to me, astrology is just as godly as anything else, you know. And anyway, to get on to my question, I don't know if this gives you any background. I'm not asking you to do any kind of forecast for me. I'm a Taurus with Gemini rising, Moon in Aries. I was born in 1968. And what my question was is that I'm doing all right now, but I haven't, you know, I don't mean to sound like I feel sorry for myself or anything like that. I haven't exactly had the easiest life. And generally, you know, I tend to have a lot of bad luck, it seems like, and, you know, like with relationships and stuff like that. And I've noticed that you talk a lot about past lives and things, you know, because I am also a firm believer in karma.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now a recovering drug addict. And things are getting better, you know. My life is much better now than it was as I was growing up. I had a lot of problems. I was wondering if maybe you could talk a little about that, you know.
Okay, Alex, hold on, because we only have a certain amount of time with each caller.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have strange fantasies or strange interests that you might not identify as spiritual?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, definitely.
Can you play a war game and enjoy it, or go to a violent movie and enjoy it?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, you see.
Much as I hate to admit it, yes.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what goes on here, because I want to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes relax by playing a war game. One of my favorite games is Lords of Conquest. Once in a while, I need to see a good war movie.
Mm-hmm.
When I've been regressed, half of my past lives have been filled with warriors and warrior priests and warlords and Vikings, and now I've come back as a spiritual man, but still I have these transits where my skin crawls and I feel like exploding, you know, you know, like if you sat down and you said, Farley, was your life good? Was it fun? Sometimes I'd have to say, well, I might prefer to be at a higher level, you know, and that's mm-hmm. really why we're here. One of the reasons why you have bad luck, from my intuitive sense, is that you have to go over your fantasies,
mm-hmm.
and you can actually see what you've done in past lives by seeing what you enjoy in books, films, and games that you might play. And even some of this lust that we have. You know, like, I used to be a lot lusty when I was younger. Now that's toned down, and I could see how an obsession there can create a real negative karma sexually.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the problem is that this is a very important time. It's the end of the Piscean Age, beginning of the Aquarius Age. And a lot of people are coming to grips with, like, 30 past lives all being grouped in one grouping. And I grant you that you have been involved in a lot of this warrior karma, and trying to remain spiritual and centered without a gun or a knife or a sword or a shield at your side. See, in the old days, if we had a stress problem, we'd go out and hack somebody and feel better for it. Come back and say, well, I just split somebody, whatever, you hear. But now, you know, in 1988, we're supposed to conform. We're supposed to be stable. A lot of these gang member kids that are still into that primitive karma, that's what they do. They go out on a Saturday night, and they shoot some innocent people, and then they come back and they say, wow, don't you feel good about that? Don't you feel a sense of power? But, you know, they'll probably be thrown into a 10 million year karmic cycle where you're probably at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in order to understand this, just keep absolving your life and keep trying to remain positive and affirmative and spiritual and meditate and chant and try to get over this bad luck thing. Just remember that you are paying your debts right now, and a lot of them aren't fun.
Yeah.
I got to go. That's a great question. Thank you, Alex.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Holly. God bless.
God bless you.
Bye.
A different kind of astrology hour today, for sure. No personal forecast for the whole hour, but we're going to be sure to talk to a lot of people. And we got Don and Joe and Jenny and Kevin and Maria and Elizabeth and Judy and Dylan all coming up. So here I thought we'd have, I was talking to the program director today, and he said, Farley, you're probably not going to get any calls, or you get a bunch of goofos calling. And I'm proud to know there are a lot of people out there that are thinking more than just trying to drain me. I didn't even get a chance to do the topic today, but what the heck? I think it's a good time. This show is going to be interesting for the whole hour because it's not going to be just filled with people wondering about their career and relationships. It's going to be lots of questions about life and the universe. Anyway, let's go to Dawn on line 5 and see what her comment is. Hi, Dawn. You like this kind of show?
Yeah, I do.
Me too.
Okay, my question is on soul contracts.
Soul contracts?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, well, having to do with, like, babies and infants that, you know, that die. Like of crib death or something like that.
Hmm.
You know, why does that happen, you know, as far as their the soul goes? You know, what happens? Did they make a mistake or something? And also I was wondering, like, whose karma? Would it be the mother's or would it be karma at all? You know, would it be the mother's and all the grieving family or, you know?
A lot of times when this sort of thing happens, in my opinion, I feel that the child is so closely bound to the individual that if you were going to call this a division, like a soul molecule or a soul twin, where the baby is actually a part of your own soul.
Uh-huh.
And this type of experience, it definitely is karmic. It definitely makes the person that goes through it, you know, totally review and revamp their whole life.
Yeah,
and
right.
Usually go through a rebirth or transform or go into seclusion. See, a lot of times, this is interesting, Dawn, because I was thinking about a topic today with this energy exchange that we all go through. See, everybody is a debit and credit bank of energy. And what people do without knowing it is they drain other people because they're empty or they have a vacuum or they have a void. See, if you're in a room with a bunch of people that have low self-esteem,
right,
and you have high self-esteem, then you'll get burned out. But some people form relationships and they get pregnant and they get married because they're so empty that they think that this is going to fill them up,
uh-huh,
that this is going to make their energy more. What they end up doing is draining the husband, draining the boyfriend or the girlfriend, and sometimes, you got it, draining the baby before it's even born.
Uh-huh. Is that baby's soul, I mean, does it already know that it's just going to be born into a body for just a short, you know?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. The higher self and the higher mind of the child is definitely equipped that sometimes I believe that some of these people that would go through that are actually even karma-free,
uh-huh,
where they're so close to the person they're to be born to that they don't even qualify to be human in this dimension. They're so evolved. So they make an attempt to connect in this dimension, and they just can't manifest it.
Ah, that's neat.
See, like, that is why, if I was pregnant, you got to be careful when you say you love somebody, in my opinion. Because I think that when you say, I love you to someone, a motive. See, like, this is a controversial subject, and this is my opinion. So if other people have comments on it, I'm interested. My opinion is, and my guide's opinion is, of course, because she's always with me when I'm on the air, is that I feel that it is important to love yourself and have higher self-esteem and pat yourself on the back and say, hey, I deserve this child because I love myself and I wish high self-esteem and self-love on this child. Sometimes when you say, I love you, I love you, I love you to a baby or a person, what you're doing, I feel, is they drain you.
Right.
Because whenever I've been in a relationship, some people tell me they love me all the time, I don't want to see those people anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, give me a break. They're leeches or something. I don't know if that helps you any, does it?
Oh, it does. It helps a great deal.
Okay, now let me put that down. Dawn had a question on soul contracts, and you now are the leading contender in the contest.
All right.
So let me put you down. You got a 9 on that question, and I think I've got your number there. If not, I'll announce your name after the show, and you can call me up and give me the information.
Okay, thank you.
I hope I gave you a good answer. That's a tough question.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm interested in further comments on that question on premature death. If you can answer it any better, please call. Let's go to Joe now on line 7. Hi.
Hi, Farley.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Did you hear that last caller?
Uh-huh, I did.
Did that make sense, what I was saying?
Yes, and I think by the tone of her voice, you really encouraged her. I could feel the the encouragement in her voice when she hung up.
Okay, sometimes I need to get a little Leo pat on the back. Okay, so what can we do for you?
Well, I'm a Leo rising too, so I feel it too.
All right, you know, this show may go down in history as my favorite show. I like this kind of exchange.
Well, I'm writing really fast. What I wanted to ask you about is about the grand crosses on the angles in cardinal signs. Can you give me some input on that?
Well, you know, there's an 8-degree orb on the oppositions for all the grand crosses.
8 degrees, okay.
Which means that if somebody has something at 15 Cancer, then all the way from 7 degrees Capricorn up to 23 Capricorn, that will be in opposition.
I see.
See, because there's actually 16 degrees if you count 8 on the one side and 8 on the other side.
Okay.
Basically, the grand cardinal cross is very intense because a person born with that can be born with a lot of obsessions and a lot of desires. It's a fidgety cross. Because it says, let's go, let's get it done. It's like a nervous, impatient thing.
Ambition, would that be one of them?
Oh, yeah, and sometimes it's like running into a dark room and getting shocked, you know, because you're going too fast. It's hard to slow that down. I call that the super freight train, like those Japanese freight trains they have. They should put Grand Square and Grand Cross freight train headed for Tokyo at 2 o'clock. You know? But usually, what we like to consider in this thing is the epitome karma of the Aries force, which says, me, 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 this
right.
is the negative side.
Okay.
The Cancer force, which is emotionally obsessed and low self-esteem.
All right.
And then the Libra force, which is charm and manipulation. And then the Capricorn force that says success at any cost.
I see.
So you put those four ingredients together, and that's the karma of the Grand Square Cardinal. Thank you.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Great questions on today's Astrology Hour. Gosh, this is fun. Let's go over to our next caller, which would be Kevin on line 8. Yo, Kev.
Farley, hi.
Hi.
I'm looking at 3 questions. I'd like you to choose one.
Okay.
One of them is more information regarding quintiles and quincunx. They're very vague to me.
Okay, first of all, a quintile, I don't know much about. But I do know, from what I've heard, it's a good aspect. It's like a minor sextile or a minor trine. It's supposed to mean that the person that has it is evolved and has wisdom in certain areas karmically, depending on what degrees are touched by the quintiles. They're very rare.
Okay.
And the quinx is imbalance of energy. It's like two planets at alien odds with each other. It's almost like what we would call two signs that affect each other that have no relation to each other. For example, Leo in a quinx with Capricorn and Pisces. They don't really relate with Leo at all because Pisces is immutable water, and Capricorn is cardinal earth, and Leo is a fixed fire. So when you have a quinx inside of you, when you have two planets quinx each other, then usually there's an alien factor involved inside of you that can make it difficult to make a decision. Usually guilt is involved, internal guilt or guilt projected to you by others to make you feel like you've done something wrong just because you act weird or different. Okay?
Can I ask you one more question, which
sure.
is a more important one?
Yeah.
And that would be feedback that you might have regarding the next presidential administration and in context with world cooperation and how they'll affect what's going on this planet.
Well, I personally feel that Reagan's health is in critical danger, and so is his life and security because of his current chart. So for that reason, I feel that Reagan is subject to stepping down almost imminent. And that Bush would be the president and then run as incumbent. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, but when I look at the eyes of these people running for president, I don't see too many people spiritually qualified to be president. And even though people put Bush down because of his involvements and because he's a Republican, he may be one of the few people qualified. Who's to say if the president really has any power anyway? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's so many vested interests and these trilateral groups that control the world. I think actually they're the ones that place a puppet as president of the United States anyway.
Yeah.
So I just think that it's all controlled and prepared ahead of time who's going to make it. And I always felt it would be Bush anyway. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Now, we're not doing any forecasts today because this is a different kind of Astrology Hour. Instead of going with a topic, we're answering a lot of questions, food for thought that people have been thinking about today. And Dawn's soul contract question on soul growth is, of course, the leader right now in our general question contest. Okay, let's go to somebody else here on line number 6. We got Dylan. Yo, Dill.
How you doing, Farley?
Hey, guy. Are you enjoying this show?
Yeah.
It's different than the others, huh?
Yeah, it gives everyone a chance to ask some kind of far-out questions. I was listening to the guy earlier on talking about how old the science of astrology is. And I was wondering, before all the outer planets were discovered in the last few hundred years, how did astrologers account for some of the factors?
Well, first of all, the outer planets were well known during Atlantis time. When Atlantis was in existence, and Lemuria and Mu, they were all high-tech civilizations, as I believe as recently as 10,000 or 11,000 years ago. Of course, the Great War completely melted down any trace. See, they were such isolationist civilizations that their technology really wasn't known that much around the world. Mm-hmm. They kind of left the rest of the world primitive, and Atlantis was like a well-developed continent. So, you know, the outer planets were known. Before the outer planets were developed, there was more importance placed on Mars and on Jupiter and Saturn, which actually ruled the rest of the signs. I think Mars ruled Scorpio, and Pisces, I think, was ruled by Jupiter. I'm not sure of that. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
And so what happened was is that there was just more emphasis placed on those signs and those planets until in the modern times they were developed.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's still planets out there that haven't been discovered and play some role that we don't know about?
Gosh, it would really be hard for that to be true, in my opinion, because the scientists are so finicky. See, the way you find a planet, I'll tell you how you find it, Dylan, is that, see, the universe is filled with light.
Yeah.
And when there's a planet out there, what it does is it covers up a star or covers up a light as it goes through its orbit.
Yeah.
So even a planet as small as Pluto is still covering up something out there farther away, and that's how we track the orbits through these gigantic telescopes.
Mm-hmm.
See, and at this point, astronomers have computers where they would pretty much know if there was what we call a planet trail.
Yeah.
See, so the universe, of course, is vast, and maybe there would be a planet that would be extremely far out there, but it's hard for me to believe that the sun has that much of an effect too far beyond Pluto. I think you get beyond Pluto, a planet any bigger with Pluto would probably be thrown off into the universe and be almost like a lost asteroid.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. Let's go to Karen on line number 4. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Farley. How are you doing?
Real good.
Good. Good talking to you today. Great show.
All right. Thank you. You like this kind of show?
I do. I like the varied questions. It's just fascinating to me.
Are you going
to
go for the contest, too?
I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it sounds great. It'd be fun.
Do you like boating?
I love it. I grew up with it. My father had a large boat, and we sailed a lot to Catalina, and it was wonderful.
I always go to see the sea lions. They're my friends, the sea puppies. I know where hundreds of them are, so I always go there, and they go, you know, there, hi, Farley, and sea lion talk, you know.
Yeah, and the perspective being out in the ocean looking back, it really gives you a whole different feel, too.
One time I saw porpoises 15 and 16 feet long. They look like whales. I saw a whole school of them, about 15, right outside the marina breakwaters, and they were following my boat, and we were partying. It was great.
Great. Oh, that sounds wonderful. Well, I called to ask you, so many people call in and you say in their charts you see that they should be an astrologer or a spiritual counselor, and I know you've talked about this before, and I've been kind of waiting to hear because it's been a while back, but when people go ahead and decide to go in and either be an astrologer or a spiritual counselor, legally, it's a legal question I have, when they want to start doing that, you had kind of shared that you can be a counselor, like a lay counselor. Can you go over that real briefly?
Well, you know, as long as you don't claim to be certified.
Okay, if you don't claim any kind of degree or anything.
That's right. The only laws that restrict non-certified astrologers from practicing would be local ordinances.
Okay.
You know, that would be against psychics and faith healers or fortune tellers. And that way, that's why you want to try hard to be recognized as a scientist, because I'm listed in the Who's Who books. That helps out a little bit there, being no other astrologers listed in the Who's Who books.
Right.
Also, I'm a member of the American Federation of Astrologers Network that you have to be invited to, and the International Society of Astrological Research, you have to be invited to that too.
Mm-hmm.
And now the American Federation of Astrologers in Washington, you have to take a test for, and a lot of people rebel against them because you have to know the math.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing the math doesn't make the astrologers, because most of the modern astrologers I know use computers to calculate their charts.
Yeah, and they're going back to the old way of doing it, to compute a chart. Right.
Okay?
Okay, that's great, Farley. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, we're getting all kinds of far-out questions today. Isn't it great? Susan, I got a few seconds for you. Is it quick?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's real quick. It's about soulmates and people from past lives. I wonder if the answer to who those people are lies in astrology.
Well, okay, first of all, I believe that there's only one being. And for that reason, everyone is your soulmate and your eventual soul twin.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how high your own consciousness is, will allow you to plug into the fact that you are the world and you are the universe.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why some people seem closer than others is because that's your consciousness showing you more of a oneness you share with those people, and that's why you might designate them as a soulmate or a soul twin, because they'll show a more clear reflection. I gotta go.
Okay, thanks for your topic today.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody, for this very special edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio, a no-forecast day. It was called Rap with Farley, and I'm glad you liked it. If we get a lot of mail, we'll make it a tradition on Monday. Dawn, you are a winner, so we'll call you up to give you your six-month forecast. Have a nice day. We'll see you real soon. Weekdays on KFOX at 12 noon. Bye, everybody.